This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
That's right. The drive is live. Kick Rocks comes in. Did she make it on the Wikipedia page? As a
I don't remember her being
soon.
On there.
Oh, she
Very
didn't.
Soon she will.
She didn't.
By 2:15, she'll be on the Wikipedia page, Ron.
Vanessa Richardson.
I mean, the Conkin.
Contributor. Former host. Former guest.
Jim Nance was there. Might as well throw Vanessa up there.
Stop mentioning his name.
Why?
Was he retired?
You just shut up and let me do my job.
Anyhow, not to get this off to a bad start, but speaking of him.
I just got the red carpet. We're wanting to get into a controversy.
No, shut up. A lot to get to here as day two of training camp. Another hot one out there, but they got some good work done. I want to get the thoughts, as I know Clint was out there, had his eyes on the prize for the second straight day. I want to get his thoughts and the takeaway, and we can discuss the takeaways from training camp. Today, but let's hear from the head coach. The head coach, if you missed it, you could heard him right here on In the Loop as he speaks to the media after practice. This was his biggest takeaways from day two of training camp. Here's D'Amico Ryan.
My biggest takeaway from today was very competitive on both sides of the ball. You saw, you know, see offense making some plays there in the passing game, and, you know, bust a run open there, and defense, right, really competing, making plays as well. I think the highlight of the day for me was Petrie, all right, being in a really good spot to intercept the football. He's been a guy who's been very consistent for us, no matter where we put him, what we've asked him to do. He's just, you know, my type of player. He's all over the field, always up for the challenge. Whatever the down is, like, he's going to be around the football making plays, and it was evident today.
All right, he said competitive practice. Both sides of the ball did some things, offensively and defensively. I don't know, Clint, it felt like a practice dominated by the defense today.
Yeah, look, I thought it was a sloppy day on the offensive side. There was two balls in the background on the ground in the backfield that were inexcusable. One of them was C.J. Stroud, and I believe it was Jarrett Patterson, and that's the one where C.J. picks it up and turns a bad play into a worse play by throwing an interception. He missed Higgins on an in-cut to his right, and I believe that's the one. I couldn't see who caught it, but I'm assuming that's the interception everybody's talking about where Petrie was back in a safety spot more so, and it hit him dead in the chest. I guess that's what it was. But bad play gone worse, and then one of the backup quarterbacks had a fumbled exchange, which the defense jumped on and would have took the other direction for a touchdown. So I thought it was a super sloppy day by the offense. Because also you mentioned the protection problems. The pocket just absolutely collapsed multiple times on C.J. Stroud. Juice Scruggs got 2024 season. I'm sorry. Yeah. 2023 season.
Yeah.
Abused at guard because they got the replay up there. So you see it happen live and they got the replay going and you watch it. It's one of those where we all saw it several times last year where the guard stands up like he's going to pass protect, and it's like his feet are stuck in concrete and the defensive tackle goes around him. It was one of those. The very next play, the entire pocket collapsed. Again, the guard and both tackles met at C.J. Stroud. So, I thought it was a sloppy day by the offense. You can call it a dominant day by the defense if you'd like. I think they took advantage of some sloppiness on the offense.
Is this, I guess just getting from your expertise, is this something that is to be expected, though, to the degree that it was? Is this something that's to be expected when you have, as we've talked about, when you go to camp, when it's an open camp, if some of you go on Saturday for the first time, shout out to Cal McNair, who jumped on with the fellas at In the Loop and said he'll be there the first one to greet you, is what Cal said. How about that? If Cal is at that fence,
hold on,
ready to shake hands as soon as you walk in, hell, he might be. But when you go out, I think we probably believe that this defense is probably going to be ahead of the offense throughout training camp.
Yeah.
And it's probably going to be getting the best of the offense throughout training camp because of the level that they're at and the level of where they know their defense is. And this is an offense that's just installing. I'm just asking you from your experience in this, in football, is this something to be expected, or was this some sloppiness that was more than it should have been at this point?
Well, I think two things can be true to answer your question, Ron. I do think we're going to have times this year where this defense is so dominant and there's such an aggressive physical nature that they are going to just disrupt things in a practice that makes it ugly. They're going to be responsible for that. And that may be some of what went on today, but I think also as you're installing an offense the way that you're doing, with new terminology and new scheme and new voices and everything, there's going to be some serious peaks and valleys. There's going to be days where CJ goes out there and he sees everything clearly and it looks like $1 million. And then you're going to go out there and it's going to be days like today where balls are on the ground, the communication's not going to be right. It's going to be ugly, and protection's not going to be right. Routes are probably going to be some kind of miscommunication where an out route's ran when you thought it was going to be an in cut. You're going to see those things when you're installing an offense. And so I think two things can be true, Ron, that it's, and today to me was probably a little bit of both. I do think this defense is going to be overwhelming in a practice setting for a lot of offenses. And I do think that offenses that are installing new systems are going to have ups and downs and ugly days and balls on the ground and blown assignments. And I think both of those things could be true about what we saw today.
Yeah, I mean, you got guys like Will Anderson is going to give people problems. Danielle Hunter's going to give people problems. Stingley's going to give people problems, and especially when they start to get an understanding of what you're doing. So yeah. I'm not trying to give him a pass. I'm just saying – for people out there, especially with the offensive line, and again, there's no pads on, and we can get to that offensive line stuff a little bit later on. But just in case some people may freak out by some of the stuff they saw and read today.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't freak out about it. It just is what it is. I mean, keep tabs on it. You want to have more good days than you do bad days when you're an offensive unit that really struggled last year up front. You want to have more good days than bad. I've got Dirty's rant today. I mean, Will Anderson's going to get a little bit of that. I don't know when you want to jump into that one, but
let's hear this.
I just jokingly, you know, yesterday Brevin Jordan caught the brunt of it. Today is Will Anderson. It's Will Anderson's turn here.
Is this the same thing that Will has been getting to you about?
Yeah. But I'm dead ass serious. Like C.J. Stroud needs to have a conversation with Will Anderson. I'm telling you, I've been in a position. I've been in CJ's shoes before. When you're trying to install an offense, when you're trying to communicate, and you're trying to get quality reps, and you're doing it in shells, and you're doing it in a 3 to 4 day, you know, ramp up phase here in training camp, and you got a guy over there that's Junior Seau in this thing and going 9,000 miles an hour and disrupting everything, and it's impossible. I mean, Brevin Jordan tried to reach. If you, a reach block is really, he's outside the defensive end, kind of, and he's got to reach across the face on a backside of a run. And Will just blows right through Brevin Jordan and catches a running back in the backfield. And it's one of those, like, come on, man. Like, nobody has pads on. And so we've jokingly discussed this multiple times, But I'm dead serious. This is something that I'm passionate about. You've got an offense over there that's trying to install something, and it's going to be a battle. When you get chances to go one versus one, it would benefit this football team greatly if Will Anderson wasn't out there. You put full pads on? Hey, man, let it ride, and we'll do what you do.
You're saying right now is there's no full pads.
He is completely a problem. I mean, it is completely – you can't get any work done. You just flat out can't get work done because he is full speed, super physical, and it is unbelievably disruptive. And I know that's what D'Amico likes. I know that's the standard that's set on the defense. But it's clear he's the only one doing it. Everybody else can practice.
I was going to say, is he – like, should there be an adjustment – like, to hell with you saying take him off. Should there be an adjustment on him? Like, what speed do you think he should be going? Like, if you said he's going 100% like he's got pads on, full go, what should he be doing in this setting?
Well, the same thing everybody else does is, like, once you get reached or, like, get your first step, get your hand placement, once you get reached, hey, let's throttle down a bit here. I mean, he just keeps ramping up until he makes contact. And it's just one of those that – If you had an experienced offensive unit and you were at a point in training camp, and they're never going to be here, by the way, in training camp. If you ever got to a point in training camp where it was good versus good, we're scheming you, and we've got an experienced quarterback that's in this system that's got a play caller that, hey, we got our stuff together, and now we can take some time to offset it. Then that's a different game. But you've got an offensive unit that is trying their damnedest to install something. And even when you do, like if Brevin Jordan was in a position where he could have just rode that defensive end all the way down and pushed him into the pile, but Brevin's not going to do that. You don't do that when you don't have shells. When you have shells, and you don't do that, right? And so he kind of four or five steps in kind of eases up. Will just continues on and just disrupts. I don't know.
Next line coming through here. Only Clint would have a problem with Will Anderson's intensity. Art says, yeah, leave it to the quarterback to complain about the DB being too intense. I have an understanding of why you have an issue with it, but I guess explain to them what this, as you said, you can't get anything done, and if Blake Fisher or Ariante Ursary matched or Brevin Jordan matched.
Well, somebody gets hurt.
Somebody gets hurt.
Somebody ends up getting hurt. And it's one of those where, again, if this wasn't an offense that's playing catch-up to every other AFC team that's worth a damn, right, if you're playing catch-up, you're trying to install things, you're trying to communicate things, you're trying to teach, you're trying to – and like for C.J. Stroud, he drops back, and if half of the – if every time Will Anderson's in the game, he's going full speed in my tackle, he knows like nobody can buck
him. I can't drive him into the ground.
There's nothing you can do. And it's just one of those where for the Texans, I don't have a problem with it. I'm just telling you it's so disruptive that it stalls.
I have a problem with it.
It stalls the offense's ability to get good looks and get reps at what they're trying to accomplish. I'm not worried about Brevin Jordan's ability to cut, to reach or cut, whatever you want to do, whatever's legal nowadays, Will Anderson on the backside of a run. I'm not.
I have a problem with it. We got to, because of the injury factor. I got a problem. Like the way Will is coming sometimes and bending around that corner, I mean it's all everything until he's coming 100% full speed and he bends around that corner into CJ.
Yeah,
right. Or something else. Or one of these tackles say, "To hell with this! I'm not going to keep getting embarrassed, and I'm going to push you." And we get people on the ground and we're rolling up.
Well,
I just think we got to have an understanding.
The very next play, Ron, after the undercutting Brevin Jordan or Brevin Jordan not being able to reach him, he just drives a tackle back into CJ, but CJ has to really move around as if it were. And look, I'm okay with CJ being pressured. I am just telling you that this is an offense, and I've been in this position. It is highly frustrating. When you are doing everything, I've never been in CJ's spot where this is a huge year for him, and he's got like championship. I was just trying to install an offense and didn't know what the hell I was doing. I was a kid trying to install an offense. Like, you know how frustrating it is when you're trying to get a good look and like you need to see Dalton Schultz sink his hip so you can get this because you're working on the timing and this and that. And you need to see this linebacker do. And all of a sudden, because you don't have pads on, your right tackle's getting driven back into your lap. It's just a – I've never met an offensive-minded person that wasn't – didn't get frustrated with this kind of thing. I mean, I've seen a guy get cut for it. Not Will Anderson, but I've seen guys get cut for it. I mean, it's just – it is – and I've jokingly talked about this before, but somebody needs to talk to Will Anderson, or somebody needs to seriously consider just taking him off the reps of when they have shells on and go team. Now, Will, you go over there and work with that private coach you got on the side.
Yeah, I just think we got to be on the same page on what it is that we're that we're doing. Yeah. I love Will for his aggressiveness and getting his work in and going hard. But, you see other people come around the corner and they're up and, bam, they touch right. The quarterback, or they get back or they slow down or they stop. Like, Will is going so hard, I get concerned if he can put on the brakes fast enough.
Yeah.
Or if he, like, and he's dominating the thing. But, again, like you said, I mean.
Well, to me, Ron, it's the worst thing in football. Right, and I'm not talking about Will. I'm just in general. Like when I look at I get a lot of videos on social media from kids that go to camps, and the dumbest thing, the worst thing in all of football, and there's a lot of things to complain about, especially if you're an old head like me, and it's this new era of football, right? The worst thing, the dumbest thing that if I had a kid, I would pull him immediately out of a camp if this is going on. When you've got O line and D line going one on one. Heated one-on-one, I'll embarrass you type stuff if you slip, and they ain't got no pads on.
Yeah,
there's some guy back here holding a pad like this, and that D lineman is just firing off, hand in the throat, bull rushing. I mean, all kind of crazy stuff. It's like that's you're not getting any work individually. You're not getting any work. Somebody's gonna get the risk versus reward is silly, and so I'm that part of it. The going hard with no pads on. When you're talking about trench play, it's silly as hell to me.
Yeah, it's different, I believe. Like the receivers and corners and those, that's a different thing.
And I get it, guys. Will is getting better every single snap. Never doubted that. But what's happening is it derails the offense three or four times a period when it happens.
I feel like he's going to fall into somebody's legs all the time. Yeah, every time when he
they had a meeting at the quarterback today. I think it was Juice Scruggs was head first on the ground against somebody. Yeah, but Will was part of it.
And they're pushing their asses back on it. I know there's people texting in, hey man, those offensive linemen got to get better. But then if you pull that, then you're bringing injury into it.
But you're not getting better in shells going against Will Anderson in a physical manner. You're not doing it. You're not getting better.
All right, coming up, Nick Caserio spoke with Mark Vandermeer, John Harris, and said something that maybe should spark your thoughts in terms of expectations for this team. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Oh, you guys talk.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
The wait is finally over. Ready or Not is available now on consoles. Become an elite SWAT commander and feel the weight of the badge. The immersive cult classic is now on its way to more players than ever before. Coming this summer for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series XS. Get ready for 18 high-stakes missions, solo or with up to 5 players in co-op. Clear rooms, protect civilians, make split-second calls, and join the tactical shooter community with countless ways to set up your loadouts and gear no mission is the same. And with full crossplay, your team can suit up no matter what system they're on. So, if you're into tactical gameplay and intense high-stakes action, Ready or Not is the must-play tax shooter this summer. Available now on PlayStation, Xbox, and PC.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Bottom all the time.
It's Texans Training Camp, live from the Twin Peaks Studios. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Dirty Red's got them anger sharks swimming in his head today.
Ryan, I already knew you were a B, but come on. Tell Clint to stop being a B, too.
Wow, dude.
I got a tissue over here for the offense. Someone did bring up a point, though, Clint.
It's interesting. When that offense is behind significantly and you look up and they've been in training camp for 6 weeks going against a dominant defense that's been disruptive as hell and that offense is over a sputter and come back and tough got me.
Listen, I know your point is much more to the, hey, We got the Rams coming up before you know it, and we're trying to get a picture of this, and this is a new offense, and we're running, and we're trying to install something. I'm trying to get a visual of this, and we're in just helmets right now, yeah. and I can't really get a visual of it because we got one person out of the 22 out here who is deciding to take this thing to a whole nother level.
Yeah, I'm not going to pull a guard and ear hole you. I'm not going to put Nick Chubb over there and ask him to put his helmet in your rib cage. We're not going to do that. We're going to try to work our scheme because we need to work our scheme, not try to game plan for you. And so it's.
But for me, it is that cat's lined up over there like it's week one and he's up against the right tackle of the Rams, and he is dipping and coming around the corner on somebody who is dropping back, and offensive linemen who are in shell or not thinking about clubbing you and hitting you. I'm just saying the potential of rolling into somebody, the potential of an injury for no reason right there is my biggest thing. So I'll be the B or whatever. When it comes to that. But I do think this is a point that somebody did bring up, a texter, Clint, when you said CJ should have a conversation with Will. Someone texted in, shouldn't that be the coaches to be telling him that rather than CJ Stroud?
Yeah, no, I'm okay if it's the coaches as well, but if I were CJ, like we've watched it long enough to where if I were CJ and now I'm in a spot where, like, man, we're trying to install an offense here, and you've got a championship caliber defense on the other side. Like, let's weigh the reward here. Like, is the team getting better because Will Anderson's going full speed every day on July 24th in a team drill, or would the team be better suited to have a good clean pocket so C.J. Stroud can see what's going on in the secondary so that, you know, there's a run lane inside if it is created. Instead of the running back being able to be patient and see where the hole may be, Will Anderson's already blown through Brevin Jordan in shells and gone over there and grabbed the running back by the back of his shirt. Like, it's you can't see anything that you're looking. And again, the value change, like, if you're an experienced offense with the same play caller and you know, if you're Andy Reid and this is going on, you tell the quarterback, hey, before we go out there, hey man, Will's over here acting a fool on this. I'm gonna call this run to the left. Hey Pat, keep this thing out the back door and teach Will a lesson. I know we're in shells, and I know, but you can afford to do those kind of things, right? These guys are installing an offense. Hell, they're trying to communicate. They're working on double teams, right? I mean, so it's a different – to me, it's one of those – to me, it's about being disruptive on defense and disrupting the whole practice and the value of every single rep when you're trying to install an offense.
Yeah, and clearly, Clint, they must be okay with it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, clearly they are. I ain't never met a defensive-minded coach who didn't like it. I ain't never met an offensive coach that wouldn't roll their eyes at it, at the very least, if not dog cuss it. And I've never met a defensive coach that would ask it to stop. I used to have it out with the D-line coach. I used to have it out with my D-line. At Arkansas, I'd be like, hey, man, we would have these plays, like, we have a period where these are the 10 new plays, or plays that we're tweaking a little bit. And we need to get them rep versus this defense. And we snapped the football, and I'm standing up there, and all of a sudden, you know, we're in shells. All of a sudden, the D tackle over the I'm trying to hit a little basic cross by my tight end. All of a sudden, the D tackle that everybody stopped in the middle, two steps in. All of a sudden, the D tackle jumps up and bats the ball down. And I'm just like, well, what are we doing here? What are we accomplishing here? This is loser type stuff. This is silly. I used to have it out. I mean, all the time. It was just. Yeah, to each their own. Defensive-minded, offensive-minded. I need this offense to get up to speed ASAP.
Good things going on here, right here, baby. Two sports you don't half-ass in practice, rodeo and football. You do half-ass in football. When you don't have pads on, you don't.
Yeah, you call it what you want, half-ass. I mean, there's –
You do.
I mean, get off. I just question the value of
– they don't go – They don't go hard. Do they come around and hit the quarterback in practice?
Them guys in the red jersey?
Do they finish him off?
Yeah.
Get out of here. You know that. My favorite one here.
I just think somebody – bottom line is this. I don't want to make a mountain out of a molehill, which I think we already have. I just think somebody ought to get in Will Anderson's ear and say, hey, man, let's get a little better look at these reps.
I'm just saying this thing could be a mountain. And I don't want to – like where this person texted in, you know, let's not overlook the fact that Stroud may request him to go this hard.
Well, I'm gonna tell you, if anybody on the offensive side of the football is requesting that, I question their ability to play at or above their ceiling, or coach at or above.
As you say, I want to make it clear: as you're saying, when they throw them pads off, that's not what you're talking about. They throw the pads on, you're like, go ahead. Let it
when
ride.
They throw them pads on, absolutely. And if Will Anderson, thing. Those snaps that Will Anderson is over there, let's work our chips.
Yeah.
Let's work that guard pulling on the backside of a protection and ear holding his ass. If he's going to come that hard, it's the only thing you can do.
Yeah. I got to be honest, Tyler, and I slightly feel bad about this. I don't mind it as much when 10 or 18 –
Yeah, let him go in the twos.
Whoever the other quarterbacks are in, it's not as much of a problem with me. But when that Joker comes burling around that corner and sevens around that corner, and he's going around that corner, and the tackle is trying to do, you know, enough to stay with him coming around that corner, and I see them two big Jokers coming around that corner, that's what. But I don't feel as bad as if that's happening when Davis Mills is in the game. And I apologize, Davis, but I don't. When old Graham's in there, I don't feel as bad. But Seven's in there, I'm like, hey, man, we got it. We got this thing. We got you. Chill out, man. Just a taste. Give me three good hard steps, and then let's chill out. That's what I always thought it was. Give me three good hard steps, and then let's chill out. All right, coming up, let's move over to the Astros, the team – who has the best record in the American League. And when you have the best record in the American League, as you sit here on July 24th, 8 days away from the trade deadline, there are bigger thoughts. And I have a question about the pitching that I want to get your thoughts on. We'll discuss that coming up next.
It's Texans Training Camp, live from the Twin Peaks Studios. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive as we continue rolling here, day two of training camp. Let's shift over to the Astros, though, as they return home. A good road trip as they go 4-2 on the road trip, sweeping the Diamondbacks. And now their lead is 6 games in the AL West, as well as now they're tied with the Blue Jays with the best record in the American League. And you know what else? 8 days away, fellas. 8 days away until the trade deadline. That's where we are, July 31st, 8 days away until the trade deadline, and that is the moment in which the Astros have to add to their team via trade, and I'm certain this is at this point Dana Brown is working the phones hard, and his staff are working the phones hard to improve their team. And I just want to kind of pose this question to you and the people. 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. Jump in on this. 8 days away. We have started to hear some positive news, Clint, as guys like Spencer Arrighetti, guys like Christian Javier, guys like Luis Garcia are now moving up in the system. Spencer Arrighetti and Garcia are, and Javier have all been with Corpus, and they have made starts with Corpus. Javier and Arrighetti going 3 innings apiece, and Garcia going 2 innings. Now to a point where Christian Javier has been promoted up to AAA Sugarland, and he is going to pitch there. You would assume that Arrighetti and Garcia are probably headed that way too. You start to get to a point where these guys are going 3 innings. Now we're getting closer to 4 or 5 innings, and I think that gets you closer to a place where you think they may be ready to pitch for the big club. Does the potential of getting guys like Arrighetti, Christian Javier, and Garcia, and in particular Arrighetti and Javier, are guys that you would say you feel comfortable being third starters. The potential of getting those guys back, does that change your thoughts on the importance of Dana Brown getting pitching at the deadline?
0%.
It doesn't. You don't trust
No. 0%. Like, look, if they don't go get somebody, it'll give me a little bit of hope, with these guys coming back. But right now, I don't know how the Astros can be confident in getting guys back on schedule, getting guys back in time to ramp up, getting guys back so that you know you can depend on them as a third or fourth starter in a rotation. And right now we're talking about the third starter because it is the most important. You're right now you're dealing with a Lance McCullers that comes back and is inconsistent and yada, yada, yada. You get the point. Like, you never know what you're going to get when those guys when these guys you mentioned come back. You have no idea if there's going to be setbacks. We may be talking about these guys throwing on flat ground again here in about 2 months. So you never know what you're going to do. The deadline, again, is next Thursday. And so, no, I think the Astros, if they're serious about making another run and keeping this World Series window open, which, hell, I don't know what happened this year that would put them in a place where they wouldn't be, because you're going to do nothing but get better and better and better and significantly better as the year goes along. As the season goes along. So, yeah, no, I don't think it should.
It's not shifting you at all.
0%.
You're still – and right, and we're talking a top three level starter you're talking about.
I'm talking about a third starter that we can be confident in, and then we can let Arrighetti and Lance McCullers and Javier and all these guys come back and try to figure this thing out and from that fourth and fifth – you know, then you let those guys, 4, 5, and 6 starters in a rotation if you choose to – throughout the rest of the season, let them figure out. And if one of them comes back and healthy and strong and his lights out from the jump, cool, let's ride. But, boy, putting all your eggs in that basket right now.
And the injured, half-injured basket.
And guys coming back and being full go and being playoff ready. That's a bit of a reach for me, man.
Again, that is the conversation. 8 days away from the trade deadline, does the potential of getting guys like Eric Gedde, Javier, and Garcia, who look like they're on track right now moving in, Javier is about to pitch for AAA Sugarland. There's no other place to stop, right? I think Eric Gedde, his deal is not as much UCL. His deal was a finger, and you think he's moving. It's just about ramping up and getting his arm ready and back to pitching starter innings. And then Garcia, does the potential of getting guys like that back change your thoughts on the importance of getting starting pitching at the deadline? And when I say important, like type of guys, I'm talking guys like Mitch Keller from the Pirates, who is a big starting pitching name out there that would fill that role. Seth Lugo from the Royals, who finished second in the Cy Young last year and is rolling again this year. He just beat the Cubs, went six innings, two runs yesterday. That's the kind of guy you're talking about there that you would bring in. And if you were to bring in one of those two guys, now you're talking about a top three. But also knowing you got to give up something in your farm system or any of these young guys to get guys like that. Kick Rock says, Brandon Walter changes my mind a little bit. Dude may be legit. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm torn here.
With what? Brandon Walter?
No, I'm not that.
Okay.
Brandon Walter is not stopping me from going to go. That wouldn't stop me. I want to say I am torn because I agree with everything that you're saying. It is hard for me to say, hey, man, I'm going to believe that the Astros staff and just the unknown nature of how somebody's arm is going to respond, that I'm willing to say, all right, I'll wait it out, and I'll trust that Eric Gedde or Javier or Garcia will be able to pitch to the level of a third starter in the postseason right now. I generally would say that it's Christian Javier that is makes it torn for me.
Okay.
Because with the pace that he's at right now, he's the one who has now jumped to be the one who appears to be the quickest to get to the big leagues. And he's pitched like a one or a two in the playoffs. And he's already getting three innings right now. And he is one for me. I'm like, whoa, knowing that the Astros are operating differently and knowing that young players in their system are more valuable now than it was before, right? They're building. They're going to start to try to build their team homegrown. And so just making trades to get guys like Garrett Cole, to get guys like Zach Greinke, to get guys they've gotten in the past and just getting rid of prospects, I don't know that they're operating that same way right now. And boy, if you were to trade for, say, a Seth Lugo and then Christian Javier comes back and he's healthy and it's ready to go and you've traded away whatever young player, that makes me think. Christian Javier and how quickly he has gotten to this spot, he's the one that kind of makes me pause right now. But it is hard. If there is a deal out there for a Kikuchi-like, that one's hard for me to turn down. But the Christian Javier aspect of things makes me think twice.
Well, I'm Spencer Arrighetti. If I'm going to think twice, it's Spencer Arrighetti. I mean, just simply because the what we've seen from him, he should not have, at least the likelihood of him returning to form of what we last saw should be highly likely given that we just saw a broken bone in the hand. It's not like we saw an elbow. We didn't see anything cut on. We didn't see anything that was torn and needed some kind of crazy rehab. It was literally just a freak accident that was a bone in the hand that probably is not going to affect his delivery, his velocity, the arm being able to handle the torque and all that kind of stuff. I would think that everything's still pretty similar with Eric Gedde. So he would be the one to me if I were going to say, oh, hell, let's roll the dice. It would be because Spencer Eric Gedde. So, but either way it goes, man, I got to bring a third starter in here. Like you said, one of the more Kikuchi type guys. and hope for the best with the 4 and 5 starters.
It's scary to take the chance to just say, I believe one of those guys are going to be able to fit that mold, whether it be by injury or it takes them a while to get there. Champ Slice on YouTube and Twitch, Counterpoint Show. Last time we saw Javier in the playoffs, it looked like Rangers batting practice. Counterpoint to you, last time I saw Yordan Alvarez, he was hitting 210 with 3 homers. I want to give him a shot, though. So, the last time you saw him, it was rough, but I don't know. I'd like to give him a shot if he is there and healthy. All right, coming up as we continue, the offensive line, day 2 of the offensive line. We'll let you hear from Titus Howard. He had some strong things to say about the difference of this year and what we saw from them today. We'll discuss that coming up next right here live on The Drive.